Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Home."
Glory, glory, I clap my hands.
afternoon one more time. This is Nathan from Orangeburg, South Carolina. Sorry to inform you tonight that I forgot that Mature was out on the road. He has someone else that's supposed to be coming in tonight to cover the show, but unfortunately I don't see them at this particular time. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and play a song here, and I'll be back with you in a few seconds. Listen at this great song I'm going to play right now. I'll be back with you in a few seconds. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Brother Raymond filling in for Brother Peter. He's on the road again.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Nathan one more time. Our guest just got dropped again. Let me see if I can get him back on the line. Right here. We got it going on tonight. I got to call back in to him and see if we can get him back on the line. Oh, there you go. Go ahead and send him live. Brother Ray. Brother, oh, he got dropped again. Oh, my goodness. We got it going on tonight, everybody. Call back in to him again here. See what's happening on that side of the world. Just trying to get him. There you go. I'm gonna send him live. But oh my goodness! Every time I try to send him live, for some reason, it wanna drop it. If you're having trouble with a little phone, just give us a little space here. Oh, I see. I got him in the chat room. I'm gonna take him out the chat room and send him straight live. Let me see what that gonna do. Okay, Brother Ray, are you here? We are live.
Yeah, how are you? Am I?
Yeah, you live right now. We've been careful getting dropped, but we finally got it. Come
okay,
on through.
Okay, cool. All right,
go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Brother Raymond filling in for Brother Peter. He's on the road again. Tonight, I would like to talk to you about why Christianity, and just kind of a personal testimony, why it makes sense to me. So throughout my life, growing up, I grew up as a Roman Catholic. None of the things there made sense to me. However, as I progressed through life, I thought that intellectualism was the way to go. That wasn't. Eastern mysticism, tried that. Color healing, took some glasses of different colors to try to fix my aura for the faded colors, which represented the different chakras of your body, which was supposed to represent different energies that were going on. That didn't make sense. Taoism, study that. Studied Buddhism. That didn't make sense. Then 1996, May 17, 2007. May 17, 1996. I read a book called The Catch Me Killer. I had become a deplorable human being, learning all these things, learning what the world had to offer. And I realized after reading that book that there was a personal relationship, that Christianity had the only personal relationship out of all other religions. In fact, our God has a name throughout the Bible, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shaddai, Jesus. And so I started to think about that thing as I gave my life over to Christ. I started to think about, as I read the Bible, how things were personal, how that God took the things that we know, such as love, where he took Abraham and told Abraham to sacrifice his first son, Isaac. And everyone can understand that. You have a child, you do anything in the world for that child. Now a God tells you to sacrifice him. That must have hurt Abraham's heart. Jesus comes along, and in the Bible it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his firstborn son, born of Immaculate Conception, through the Holy Spirit, the only sinless man There was a personal relationship there. We could understand the love that God had, the love that we have for a child, the love that if anyone asked, you could be free of anything if you give your son. The other thing is that he had a name. He has a name above all names. His name is Jesus Christ. And so I kept thinking about that thing, and all other religions are just objects. In Buddhism, if you just let yourself, empty of self, and become one, I mean, what is that? There's no relationship there. It's just, we're just energy. We're part of a cosmic soup. And that cosmic soup, someday, hey, poof, you're a flower, poof, you're a pigeon, poof, you're Raymond. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense that all of this intellect and all of this knowledge exists. When we think about the Garden of Eden, the serpent tempted Eve and Adam with the knowledge of good and evil. And that's the one thing I like about the Bible. It's definitive. It's good, it's evil. Sinless, sinners. Just, unjust. There's no in-between. There's no humanism. There's no psychology. There's no psychiatry. There's no other anything. There's nothing. There's a personal relationship with a creator who sent his only begotten son because he so loved the world that he wanted to free us from the penalty of sin. He didn't say he's going to free us from the penalty of the things that we've done as far as man's government goes, although we should respect man's government and we should do the man's government, because Paul said that the government is the ministry of God, right? That they execute wrath upon the unrighteous. And so I keep thinking and thinking. In fact, we go back to that Buddhism thing where you empty of yourself and fill with one, right? Well, John, in the book of John, it says, I must decrease, he must increase. That's Buddhism in a nutshell. However, we're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about Jesus Christ increasing in our lives, in our hearts, in the Psalm of Paul, David, where he after Bathsheba, he writes a psalm. And he, you know, everyone has heard this, create within me, they have a song, right? A new heart. And he says that God desireth in the inner parts truth. Jesus says he's the truth, the way, the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that God is a spirit and he is truth, right? Or God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ also says that the Holy Spirit is truth. We know that Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. We know that's Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. And so when we're talking about a personal relationship, we look at David's Psalm. David's Psalm says that God desireth truth in the inward parts. Jesus Christ is truth, the Holy Spirit is truth, God is truth, and those that worship him, God is a spirit, and those that worship him in the truth and in spirit and in truth. I'm sorry. Then Paul comes along and he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now he's not talking about works. What he's talking about is that inward part, that truth. Work it out, work outward. What's inside. You know, I'm so glad today that I have a Savior that I can call by name. that I'm not hoping that, hey, listen, maybe next time I'll be a chameleon, maybe next time I'll be a horse, maybe next time I'll be somebody else, and I won't be afflicted with such an evil life in an evil world that I live. Hey, Edgar Cayce, there's different planes. Each planet represented a different plane, and as you worked out things in your life, you became perfect until you reached this perfect plane, the seventh plane. You have the Christian Scientists, you have the Jehovah Witnesses, you have the Mormons. You have all these people who really don't have a personal relationship with their Creator. But God, see, if there is a God, He wants to make Himself known. It just makes sense. It makes sense. We have all these emotions. We have all these desires. We have all these things. And you know what? God has all the same desires, all the same emotions. In fact, Jesus Christ came down here. God incarnate came to this, said He was touched by all of our infirmities. He knows it all. Not that God didn't know it, that He didn't know it, but He experienced it. He experienced it, and He let us know. Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ teaches, He teaches everything with what we know, the sower and the seed, right? What you sow is what you reap. He talks about the talents, about what you have if you invest it, is being good steward, right? With what God gives you, if you invest it properly, He may give you a little bit, just invest it, and you'll have an abundance. You see, all of these things. Then we talk about James, where James talks about man, where man looks upon the outward appearance and sees this religion and all this other stuff. But God, not God. God looks inward. He looks inward at the heart. He has that personal, we have that personal attachment. You know, when you think about Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve were the first couple, married couple, on this earth, right? In fact, Eve came right out of the rib, right? Put Adam in a great sleep. And He created the woman that was for Him, part of His body. And He had to go through pain. Can you imagine having a rib taken out? Could have a wife, and there's all that pain. And let me tell you something, that whole thing represents Jesus Christ and the church and the bridegroom and the marriage of the Lamb, all those things. And when you look at it throughout all that stuff, throughout the whole Bible, you see God desires our heart more than anything in this world. You can have all the outward righteousness, but you may be unrighteous inside. See? And if you have that unrighteousness inside, you can't have a good relationship. God, I mean, Paul, I mean, David talked about where his sin, actually, he's like, hey, heal me from the bones that are broken. There was a physical aspect to sin. A physical aspect that cut him off, hurt him physically from the relationship. In fact, when he says, hey, if you forgive me, I'll go and tell everybody about your righteousness. The woman at the well, right? Jesus tells her, hey, I'll give you the living water, everlasting water. And what happens? What happens is she goes and she tells everyone. That's a grateful sinner. A sinner who realized, I deserve hell, but I've been atoned, and it wasn't even my doing for that atonement. And there was that personal relationship. They had a personal relationship. There was a trust that was created, and it was truthful, and it was inward, right? I'll tell you, that devil is bold. Because put together something tonight. Can't get into my notes because my computer just won't start up. My phone, not. Just has had problems and problems and problems. And do you know why? Because I'm going to speak to you about the truth. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, you ought to get on your knees, ask God, show me the truth, show me the way, show me the life.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Brother Raymond, speaking about truth tonight, he just got dropped one more time. Let me get him back in and see if we can get him back on the line. This is truly a subject needs to go out through the airwaves tonight. Oh, I see Dr. Mature on. Oh, there go Brother Raymond. There go Dr. Mature. Hold on. Let me see. Brother. Fishbowl doing a act up tonight too, so everything going.
Hello?
Yeah, are you back? Okay, let me see.
Yeah.
Okay, you
Hello?
Back? You back?
I am. Hello?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you back.
All right.
Everything going to go a little to the south side. Let me see what Dr. Mature. See if he just jumped in too. So now everybody live.
Okay.
You can go ahead on Dr. Mature. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
I just jumped in. I heard Ray's phone disconnect. Please go ahead, Ray. Fantastic lesson. Go. Please continue. I'm on
okay.
the side.
Okay, so, like I said, then we see Rebecca, another picture, Ruth, another picture, all these relationships, the Song of Solomon, these are all relationships. These are all personal relationships. God desires a personal relationship. And how could you not want to have a personal relationship? God wants to know you. He wants you to know him. In fact, in Genesis, it says that Adam knew his wife. And I know there's other things involved in knowing his wife, but there was a certain thing that Adam knew about his wife and Eve knew about Adam that nobody else knew. And that, again, is another picture of Jesus Christ and his church, God and man, the world, and that personal relationship God desires. We desire it. I know that all my life, God, why'd you do this? God, why'd you do that? God, I desired a personal relationship. And most people desire a personal relationship with God. They want to know who God really is. They say God's all the same thing. It doesn't matter. Oh, we all, but inside, everyone knows. In fact, it says that there's the light that lighteth, that Jesus Christ was the light that lighteth every man. You have enough light to illuminate your knowledge, to open up your eyes and enlightenment of understanding, to know who God is. And God begs. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, I beseech you, I beseech you. He's begging to come to the knowledge of Christ, to the full knowledge and the full understanding. And it's all out there. It's there. I mean, we can't say that there's not an intelligent God in the universe. In fact, he came down as a man. He came as a man to know man. And man rejected him. You know, it's funny because I was talking to some people and they're like, hey, listen, if God came down here, man, hey, blah, 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 blah. Pretty crazy. They got rid of the witness and the witness didn't do anything. Just told them, hey, told the Pharisees, listen, all you got is outward righteousness. You just got religion. You don't even know who God is. You don't have a concept. And that's what God wants. God desires. God desires us to love him. You know, the greatest commandment is to love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And the second is, what? Love thy neighbor. But you know what? You can't love thy neighbor like yourself if you don't have a personal relationship with God. Because let's face it, man is a selfish being. Man worries about himself. In fact, that's why Maslow came up with the hierarchy of needs. If you're going to reach attainment, you reach these five steps. The first thing is food and shelter. Paul said, hey, he'll take care of all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see? So you don't have to. There's that first tenet of Maslow's law. Dang, they teach it every business student. They teach it to psychiatrists, psychologists. You don't need that food and shelter. You have Jesus Christ. You have God in your life. You have that personal relationship. You understand that he is the one that provides everything. There's nothing on this earth that's ours. Nothing. There's nothing. It's silly. We you know, Jesus says, hey, they go and they fill up their barns and they lose their soul. I mean, what's the point? What's the point of it all? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, you know, preserve for the future. I'm not saying that we shouldn't save and try to leave a legacy for our children so that they have an advantage in life. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work. God said we should work and let every man work so that he could eat. Paul was a tent maker while he was out there preaching. He said, hey, listen, I have the liberty. I have liberty to take from the churches because you don't muzzle the ox, right? But I realized that God provides everything. I've never been without. Since I've given my life to Christ, I've never been without. And it's only because of Christ. It's only because of God. It's only because he loves me and I love him. It's only because. That's it. There's nothing else. There is nothing outside of this. In fact, you know what? People start thinking, they're like, whoa, you know, why does God do this? And why does God, God loves us? God's not doing anything. It's man. Man ate from that fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. And ever since that time, I mean, he came. He said, hey, Adam and Eve were hiding from God. He heard the voice and they hid. Why are you hiding? I mean, think about that. They hid from an all-present, all-knowing, and an all-powerful God, a sovereign God. Like you could hide from God. Huh? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense to me. But that's what we do. That's what we do. That's what the human beings do. That's what the world does. They reject God. They hide from God. They don't want to know God. You know, that's why they've created, that's why the world has created so many different relationships, so many different types of God, so many different interpersonal gods, because they don't want to face the fact. There's heaven, there's hell. There's good, there's evil. There's just, there's unjust. And that's it. There's no in between. And how can a righteous God, say, look, you know what, you've been a sinful man all your life. I'm just going to let you into heaven because you did some good works. How's that just? How's that fair? What about the people who haven't done those evil things? But they, you know, Jesus says, hey, what you think in your heart is what you are. Right? Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the reins. See? He tugs at those reins of the heart. It's up to you to let him in. He knocks. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. The door. I am the door. See? You want to enter into heaven? You need to go through the door to get to heaven. You can't go to heaven without entering through the door. The only way to go through the door is what? Jesus Christ says, I leave a comforter. Right? You know what the comforter is? back in the wagon train days, when a family took ill, they had to fall back from the wagon train so that the wagon train, the rest of the wagon train, didn't get the illness, colic and those kinds of measles. And they didn't have the immunizations that we have now to prevent that stuff, to give us, you know, immunity to it. So there was a comforter, a person who was designated to take care of them. And if the family healed, they caught up to the wagon train. If they didn't, the comforter went along and caught up with the, you know, buried and took care of the family, whatever happened, and then they went on. And this is what Jesus Christ did. He left us that Holy Spirit to give us what? Conviction. He said he convict the world of sin. He convicts us. He said he will comfort you. He will teach you. He will testify of me. I mean, again, there's that relationship. He didn't leave. I go with my father to build a place, two mansions, many mansions. And he desires. He desires us. What? Why? Just doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I guess it made sense before I was saved. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, why not just create my own God and I could just have my own way and do my own thing and do whatever, you know? But then there's a consequence to having that personal relationship with God. You see, now you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And to worship him in truth is through Jesus Christ, because I am the truth, the way, and the life. And the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. So we need to fill up with the Word of God. And we get a new heart within. That's what David said. Create within me. Within me. God desireth in their inward parts truth. Paul said, you are a new creature. There's a new man. And all it takes is just confess and profess with your heart and your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And you can't say that without the Holy Spirit. Paul said it. And believe it. You know, and in fact, you want to talk about creating your own God, creating your own standards, creating your own things. The Word of God has been counterfeited more than 1,000 times with all these new translations. You know? God says that we're the oracles, that the Word of God is the oracle of God, right? God says that the Word of God brings salvation. So, and he says that, Peter says that our conduct should be according to the Word of God as oracles, as the oracles of God. And so, if we just keep changing the Word around, how do we really know? The words really, really do mean something. Those words are pure words. Those words are words that bring about salvation. Those words are words that testify to us. You know? And it's funny because you think about, like, God doesn't change. There's no changing with God, but we don't speak those words anymore. Well, just because we don't speak those words anymore, does that mean we should change God's word so we don't understand what God's word is so watered down that we can't have that personal relationship with God? Right? Because the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So to change the Word of God, we change Jesus Christ to fit our culture. And now we have an objectified God who meets our needs,
who meets what we wish. Oh, we got to take dung. We got to take that out of the Bible. That's not the right word. Oh, it's so offensive. Is it? Is it really? So I saw those that are unsaved tonight, those that may be saved, may have walked away. But there's a God. There's a God that desires your love. There's a God who desires to love you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son. That those that call upon him shall be saved. Call upon his name. And I ask right now, you will search deep down inside and look for the truth within. Ask God. Ask God, reveal it to me. And he will. I asked God to reveal it to me, and he did it to me. He did it for me. I know this. I know with every waking day that I may be a sinner, but I know this, is I'm set free. The word of God shall make you free. And that word is Jesus Christ. I ask right now that you bow your head, that you look inside, that you ask God to forgive you for your sins, to ask Jesus Christ into your heart to become your personal relationship. Go out, get yourself a King James Bible, and start reading that word. Start knowing who God is, so that God can know who you are. There's two books. There's the Book of Life, and there's the King James Bible. And you know what? God desires to see you in the Book of Life. And if you're not in the Book of Life, then you're hell bound. And that's reality. Is there anyone out there today who desires to know who God is, to know who Jesus Christ is, who desires, who knows that they are a sinner, that they deserve to go to hell? Is there one out there tonight? You can reach me by email at av1611ministries@gmail.com. That's av1611ministries@gmail.com. If there's anyone, if you need prayer, if tonight was a blessing for you, and I am sorry for being so unprepared. Everything crashed tonight. My phone, my computer, everything. Can't access anything right before the program. Imagine that. Things go awry when the devil knows there's the truth to be told. And with that, I just want to pray out. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, I apologize for my unpreparedness and my tardiness tonight, Lord. I feel as though I've been not so much of a faithful steward of your word. I appreciate this word of utterance that you have given to me. Lord, I just ask that you would touch the hearts of those that are listening, those that are unsaved. Lord, that you would just open up their eyes of understanding. That you would seek them, and they would seek you, Lord, and that personal relationship would occur, that they would profess Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And as always, I just thank Brother Nathan for being a faithful steward, just doing this day in and day out, week in and week out. And just like when you asked the nation of Israel to march around Jericho 7 days, Lord, sometimes it seems monotonous, Lord. Sometimes we just stay faithful. We just do. Just do as you say, Lord. And then the fruit. Then the victory, Lord. And I just pray for Brother Peter that he have traveling mercies. You protect him and heal him, Lord. And I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hello? Any callers? Brother Peter?
There's no callers.
No callers, no Brother Peter?
You got me live.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
How are you, brother?
What's up? Good, how are you?
Very good. Very good. A well-needed and desired message, brother.
Amen.
I'm up here in Connecticut. I'm kind of under the weather, and I call Ray at the last minute and said, Raymond, you got to help me. My voice is terrible. And wonderful job. Good stuff, Raymond.
Yes, it was.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. It's all about that personal relationship. And it just makes sense.
Yeah.
We have all this, we have all these emotions, all this love, all these things that the Bible says, all the attributes that God has. God hates sin, we hate sin, right? Right? When somebody does something against you, don't you hate that?
Yeah.
God hates it too.
Amen.
Huh? When you look upon that woman that you and you fall in love, right?
Yeah.
God does that too. See? And it just makes sense. Why would we be why would just nature just create this thing that we desire something and just there's nothing there? It doesn't make sense. It just defeats logic.
Right, I agree, brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
I think that, somebody once said to me, they said, brother, I don't need that Bible to be good. And I told them, well, I don't need it to be good either. I need it to know how to have a relationship with God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Need to know what God wants. So.
We serve a mighty God.
Amen. Anyway,
so
no callers, huh?
Well, how's the weather out there?
It was rainy today.
Yeah, it's been miserable all over the country.
Yeah.
It's
starting to clear up now. I'm building some shelves in my garage today.
How's that going?
Well, I got them up. They're up pretty good, too, actually.
Amen. Amen. This is the first time now I'm sitting here with the internet, and I'm looking at Nathan's spot here, the Sound Doctrine broadcast, and then there's on-demand episodes, and this is pretty confusion. If somebody wants to go online here and find the program live,
right.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm finding
it
kind of hard to locate it.
I got it all over. I got it on Twitter, Facebook, and Blog Talk. And what's the other one? Two other ones. Pin. I got it on Pin. It's all over the world. I mean, if it goes, it goes.
Amen.
Now I found it. I found the spot on the air. Okay. Very interesting.
You never did that before? I'll be sending it to you.
And I'm looking down below the chat box.
In order to use
the chat box, you have to go
to... Yeah, just pop in.
Yeah, you have to sign in.
Yeah. It's different when you're on the other side than... And people trying to come in from that side. It took me a while to have to do the same thing. I had to go back and come in from the other side to understand how it worked. I just
see
side of it.
Right, and I see I'm not the only one in the chat box. So that's interesting.
Someone else was there too. We had another caller that got dropped.
Well, do you have that number? Is that a Florida number? 307?
It says the Bronx, New York.
Oh, yeah. You talking about the station coming out of?
Yeah.
It does say Bronx, New York. See, I don't see that.
Yeah.
No, 347.
Well, my phone, when he called my phone, that's what it said, Bronx, New York. So.
Yeah. I call in from the station.
Yeah.
Oh, who's in Bronx, New York?
The station.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the one
all
operating.
Right.
Yeah.
So who's the second user in your chat room?
The second user?
Yes.
That called in. I had a guest call in my chat room. You in the chat room now. So you sign in Ventura Peter 77.
Right.
So you in the chat room. Then anybody I can go and send your invitation through the station to be a co-host. But nobody don't pick it up, so I stop sending them out. I don't know if you don't receive it or what, but yeah, they done improved this station so much. Now I'm still, this is a whole new station. I'm still trying to learn it. Now we based on percents and graph and all that now. So yeah,
I see.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a whole new station now.
Well, I'm learning, brother. I'm learning. I see we can Skype these programs, and I have to ask Raymond. He's got the technology information and the.
Oh yeah, he go out to Skype too. I was paying for Skype, but after this month I didn't pay for Skype because I just didn't have the money.
Well, sometimes you have to tell us when you need funds, and you know the listening audience. We don't charge. We let you know when we find a Christian business that we feel is doing the right thing, and we let them come on and advertise. I was hoping there was a lady down in Florida that I've been talking to, who has a private GPS monitoring company, and I was hoping to have her on this evening. She said she'd call in about 9:30. And I didn't hear. I guess she didn't call in.
Well, that, you know, with that storm last night, that storm brought something this morning. I mean, we was light up here in about 3 or 4 o'clock this morning. We was on a downpour. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, then. Brother.
Well, Raymond, let me ask you this, Raymond. What do you think about the general messages of the church today? Do you think the church is really...
He done got dropped again.
Ray got dropped?
Yeah, he done got dropped again. He's gone. Yeah, it's about 10, so we're going to go ahead and...
All right,
we're
going to close out the Sound Doctrine broadcast. This is Dr. Ventura. I'm coming to you live from the state of Connecticut. My home is in Imperial Beach. Nathan on the spot. We're a guest in this guest spot. It's just the first time you're tuning in. If you're going back to archive this program, the message was by Brother Raymond, and he's given his information. You can find it at the end of the program. If you'd like to contact me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's my personal email address, and I'd love to talk to you. If you got saved this evening, please feel free to call in and or to contact me, email me. I'll send you some good literature that'll help you along in your Christian walk. All right, Nathan, well, thank you. Till next Thursday, I hope I'll be feeling better, and we can get some learning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you for Raymond. We thank you for Block Talk Radio. We thank you for Nathan, who's behind the scenes doing all the switchboard work. And God, we ask you that you bless this listening audience and heal those who are sick, those who have asked for prayers. And bless my wife, Marilyn, who's out there in Imperial Beach without her husband for the next few days. And I thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Nathan.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the my heart's testing with your love.